From State Street and the First Midwest Bank Studio.
ESPN 1000.
The home of the White Sox.
WMVP Chicago.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Hey, Jesse, it's good to be hanging with you today. You're in for Fred. Fred's usually here. I'm Xander. And, yeah, we're talking football now because there's a lot of excitement. It's early on. Nothing's really happened. However, we did have the rookie camp the other day.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And that's the first time we saw Justin in a uniform wearing the number one jersey, which I don't know. It's going to be hard. I asked Eric this yesterday. Probably impossible to see how many jerseys have been sold, but you know a lot of them have so far.
Yes.
I would imagine.
Yes, I would imagine as well. 11 o'clock here on ESPN 1000. And one of our guys, you hear him often on ESPN, is Dan Wiederer from the Tribune, Bears beat reporter. And Dan, has he won the job yet? That's the first question. Did rookie minicamp win him the job?
It's the curiosity, right? Everyone wants to know, when is Justin Fields' time going to arrive? I can report safely on May 16th that his time has not arrived yet.
And
so we've got 4 months to go through it, and we'll see how much progress he can make and see where this leads us.
And what are those goofy NFL rules? Were you able to even watch him take a snap? What was it with reporters and watching practice? What the heck are you going to see in May?
Right. Well, we were able to watch practice the last 2 days, Jesse. The funny part about it was during the time that cameras were allowed to be on, whether it was still photographers taking pictures or the many TV stations in our city trying to get video, there was exactly 1 minute between Friday and Saturday combined where Justin Fields actually threw a pass and the cameras were allowed to be on. I have no idea what that's all about. I can tell you that Justin Fields in that orange number one jersey looks really good, right? He's a big kid, 6'3", 230. He's got that size and that sturdiness that jumps out to you immediately when you see him. To see him throw the football live, you say, okay, I see the zip here. I see what excites them. So on the very, very top of the surface, you look at him and you say, okay, I like what I see up close. Now we've got months and months to sort of unpack how he can develop and learn and figure out how he can find his place in this offense.
You know, Dan, you're right. Everybody wants to know when we're actually going to see him. And we actually had a poll yesterday about is it game one? Is it sometime during 2021? Is it old school, like he doesn't see the field in 2021 at all? What is your inclination, you know, based on very little of what we've seen and what you already know?
Yeah, this is what I would tell you. I would tell you not to expect him to be the week one starter when they go out to L.A. for that game against the Rams. I would tell you to certainly expect to see him as the starter at some point in the 2021 season. Where that comes, October, mid-October, late October, you know, that's kind of the ballpark range in my head right now to see what they can do. They want to make sure that when it is his time to start, that he is set up to be successful in the early stages. The last thing you want to do with a rookie quarterback, it's like teaching your kid how to swim, right? You don't want to throw them in the deep end of the pool without the floaties on when they don't know how to swim, because then they start thrashing around, they get a little panicky, and then all of a sudden that affects the way you feel and the comfort level you have in the water for the rest of your life, right? And so that's basically the analogy I draw in terms of just getting him ready, getting him comfortable with what the offense asks him to do. And when you throw him out there, the last thing you want is for him to have a 3 or 4 game losing streak to start his NFL career, to struggle, and then have the obvious avalanche from the city of Chicago going, oh, no, you know, is this another one of these?
Yeah, and we can ask Mitch about that, which, you know, Glennon not performing and throwing Mitch in there, arguably he wasn't ready. So, but this is a different person, right? This is a different player altogether.
Altogether. And the odd thing about Mitch, Xander, is that he actually was okay as a rookie. There were no signs as a rookie where you say, oh, man, the stage is too big for him. He doesn't have what it takes. It was almost like it came in the summer of 2019 when the expectations grew so much coming off that division championship season, and Mitch started sort of feeling the pressure from the outside world, the pressure within him, that it started to crumble for him. And so that's a part of a quarterback's journey. The difference with Justin Fields is, number one, he's played on a bigger stage in college. He's played in bigger games in college than Trubisky ever did. And you watch his college tape and you say, well, look, this is a different quarterback athletically. He throws the ball better. He runs better. He's got so many things in his toolbox that will allow him to get out of trouble when he's a young player making young player mistakes that are going to be very, very enlivening to Bears fans. And I think that's some of the excitement. But it's a very interesting time because, guys, the schedule came out this week, and just about everyone you looked at had them sort of straddling that 8-9, 9-8 fence. And yet the excitement in the city of Chicago is so high right now, it's hard to, like, balance what 2021 is going to be because everyone's sort of acknowledging that the season is going to be very, very average. But the hope of Justin Fields has created all this adrenaline that makes it sort of a hard puzzle to put together.
I'm just going to fall back on this thought. You don't have to be a football expert to have it. And it's 0% of people are hurt in their careers by sitting more, where the damage to playing early, it could be exponential, and you can't even foresee it. Like, how do we know that Trubisky playing early, even if he was good early, didn't affect the pressure? You know what I mean? Like, there's unintended consequences that can happen playing early where there's none if you sit a little bit longer than you think. So I think the Bears need to fall back on that thought. Who cares what the outside world thinks? Just let the guy watch a little bit.
Internally, that's their mindset. And look, we all know that Patrick Mahomes was an outlier in terms of only making one start as a rookie in week 17 as sort of a placeholder as the Chiefs got ready for the playoffs. But the reason they were able to do that was because Alex Smith was playing at a Pro Bowl level and the Chiefs won the division. And there was no, there wasn't all that outside stuff that comes along. If Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy are staring at a 2-4 team in October and they're saying, man, we have to show the outside world and we have to show our bosses what hope looks like, right? All of a sudden, it changes your timeline a little bit and say, we got to get this kid out there so people believe in who he is. They believe in the development we're having with him. And so a lot of this is going to sort of hinge upon how steady Andy Dalton can be out of the starting gates in September. And then we'll kind of reevaluate when we flip the calendar to October and see where they're at.
I guess so. But you mentioned 2-4. I mean, you can still do that at 4-6.
Sure,
right.
Yeah, right.
You know,
I'm not setting that as a benchmark. Your mindset is absolutely right on this. And it's the one that Matt and Ryan are taking into the season. And now, as you guys know, the first question you ask me is it Justin Fields' time to start? That question is going to be asked daily from now until the day they announce him as the starter. And so they've got to sort of strategize internally how to get their messaging right and get people to be patient and hit the brakes with how quickly they want to see this kid. Obviously, this year we'll get preseason games. And so there will be that little taste there that people will be like, okay, you know, we see how he's ready and we see how he's not ready, and then we'll just kind of assess how he can make big strides forward. You know, this weekend, Jesse, I don't know what you would compare this to on a baseball perspective, but you know, you get out there for practice on Friday and there's a tangible excitement out there, but then you're 40 minutes in and you're like, really, this is just install of offensive plays and they're seeing how much Justin can retain and there's no real test here. And so after like 30 minutes of watching them, you're like, okay, I'm good for the weekend.
It's like you're watching them playing a very important game of catch.
Right. And today they've actually closed practice to the media. It's just going to be a walkthrough. And so basically, you know, the in-and-out glimpse of Justin Fields for 2 days is over until OTAs start up a week and a half.
Wait, you said cameras were rolling and he threw one pass, right? You said that?
He threw passes for a minute. So
for a minute.
It was maybe 3 or 4 passes. I tweeted one out yesterday. It's just a very simple no defense pass outside, and there's nothing to learn from it.
I was going
to
ask, how did he look on those 3 or 4 passes?
Go check out that one pass that I posted to Twitter, and you tell me if this is a future Hall of Famer or a for certain bust.
That's all we get, just the one pass we have to commit.
Heck, Dickerson could throw one pass, for God's sakes.
No doubt about it. So, yeah, it's just going to be slow until we get a bigger body of work to judge where he's at.
Yeah, okay, so we start the season with Dalton. Is Foles going to be a Bear before the or is he going to be gone before the season starts?
I mean, there's really no incentive for them to not have him around. They obviously made attempts to trade him and didn't have many takers in the spring and in the late winter. And so he's around. Remember in 2017, Mark Sanchez never put on a uniform on game day and was kind of just there in the veteran mentor role and had to swallow his pride somewhat and be a helper to the rookie quarterback and try to help him navigate some of the struggles that come along with not only learning a playbook, but then dealing with.
So maybe, you know, having those two guys will help. Having them around. Hopefully.
Nick Foles is an absolute professional. He's a very unselfish, team first guy. You're not going to deal with any sort of high maintenance prima donna behavior from him. He'll be around to help Fields along. And now you just, in the quarterback's room with John DeFilippo as the quarterback's coach and Bill Lazor as the coordinator, you just have to make sure that that chemistry is positive for you. And when you get into the regular season, that everybody's got very distinct homework assignments, right, to help whoever the starter is get ready for that week's game.
Visiting with Dan Weider from the ESPN 1000 family and the Chicago Tribune. Dan, is there anything else we need to know about this mini camp? I mean, I don't think anybody cares about anything else. These offensive linemen seem pretty brash. Yeah. They all think they're all pro guys, these young guys.
Well, the one thing that I'm looking for with Tevin Jenkins, and obviously he comes in here and he has personality, right? You can already feel it on social media. You can feel it when you talk to him, that he's got that big personality that Chicago is going to fall in love with if he can play, right?
Right.
It always comes back to if he can play. The question you have with Tevin Jenkins is how quickly can he get comfortable at the left tackle position, which is where the Bears seem to have him slotted in for. Most of his college experience was on the right side, and a lot of times that can be very difficult for a guy trying to get his footwork down and get his technique down and just be comfortable, right? Essentially, it's like going out in the backyard and trying to hit the wiffle ball lefty, right? Sometimes it's not as comfortable, and you got to get your swing grooved and all that stuff. And so there's a lot of work ahead for Tevin Jenkins and Juan Castillo to get him comfortable on that left side. I don't think it's going to be as easy as the Bears have sort of laid it out to be. And that's certainly going to be something to keep an eye on when we get those first tastes of preseason games in August.
Dan, good stuff. What's next? When's the next time we'll see Justin in uniform on the field?
Yeah.
What's next?
So essentially they'll have this next week. There'll be nothing on the field this next week. Then a week and a half from now, OTA start up at Halas Hall. But as you guys know, there's been this kerfuffle, whatever you want to call it, between the players and teams and the league in terms of who should show up and who shouldn't. It's all voluntary. The Bears are saying they want high attendance. The NFLPA is saying, well, we might not have high attendance. So Fields will almost certainly be on the field a week and a half from now in Lake Forest. Who's with him? You know, which of the veteran receivers are out there catching with him? That's a question that remains to be answered. And it's an important one because that's an important piece of this developmental process as well, is working on timing with the guys you're actually going to be throwing the football to in games.
Why couldn't they have this fight when Trubisky was quarterback? Stay away. We don't need you at practice. Everybody wants to see Fields. Please, make them mandatory.
I still can't wrap my brains around
terrible.
What exactly this fight is over. I mean, you're asked to basically come to 10 practices in the spring in the city where you're employed, and I don't understand.
Shouldn't be that hard.
Yeah.
And you know, and to fall back on COVID as you're, oh, it's a safety thing. I mean, let's be honest. We got to stop using that as a blanket excuse for things that we don't want to do anymore, right? And so we'll see where this heads. It's going to be very interesting to see what the participation is that first day that we're allowed out there to do roster check in a week and a half.
Well, thank you, Dan. Dan Weider of the Chicago Tribune on the Corona Hotline. Thanks. Appreciate it. We'll be talking to you again soon.
You bet. Good talking to you guys.
Take care, Dan. Well, interesting stuff. And speaking of COVID, I want to get into this. The Cubs don't want to take the vaccine issue. And as I said at the top of the show, our whole goal is not to go down some rabbit hole about vaccines versus anti-vaxxers.
It will be easy to do that, but we're going to resist.
We're going to resist. And we want your input on this. 312-332-3776.
And we want you to try to resist going down a rabbit hole.
Thank you.
We want to keep it focused on baseball and how it affects baseball across the league.
Yeah. So 312-332-3776. And I guess I'll ask before we get into the whole thing, as we go to break, are you unhappy that the Cubs aren't going to reach their 85% threshold? Do you not care? What is your opinion on the Cubs not getting there, yet the White Sox did? We'll explain everything when we come back on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
.10:20 on a beautiful Sunday morning here on ESPN 1000. Jesse Rogers with Xander. Sorry, I wanted to say your Twitter handle, at Xander Rocker, at Jesse Rogers ESPN.
Yeah, all
that's
one
just
word,
one
R in the middle. Yeah.
Just one R, at Xander Rocker, at Jesse Rogers ESPN. 312-332-3776 is the phone number. We're going to talk about everybody's favorite topic, vaccine reluctance.
Well, it certainly has been a subject of conversation among many.
Yeah.
In various scenarios, probably over the dinner table during the holidays.
Yeah. I'm fascinated by this whole thing. So for people that don't know, baseball teams have what they call tier one employees. It's basically the traveling party. Everybody that would be on the road with the team. So it's not just the players. It's behind-the-scenes people as well.
Right.
And MLB, through their medical people, said if 85% of these Tier 1 employees get vaccinated, then 2 weeks later, when you're fully vaccinated, 2 weeks later, you can loosen the restrictions, meaning mask wearing and things like that. And I have all the restrictions here. I'm going to read them in a moment. You can loosen the restrictions. You can gather a little bit more. You don't
kind
have to wear your mask in the dugout.
It's herd immunity within the MLB community.
I suppose so, right. Because
something like that. That's
saying,
the best comparison.
Right, because they're saying it's not 100% isn't needed, just 85%.
Right.
So throughout the first 6 weeks here, players and Tier 1 employees have been getting vaccinated. And every Friday, the league puts out a press release about this. So yesterday, they said there are 12 teams that are fully vaccinated and have waited 2 weeks since their last vaccine, and right away they can loosen restrictions. The Chicago White Sox are one of them. The Chicago Cubs are not one of those 12 teams.
And probably will not.
And it doesn't sound like they will be. If you read some of the social media accounts of some people associated with the Cubs, you'll understand why. I'm talking about relatives, spouses, and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You'll know maybe.
And that's the rabbit hole we'll try to avoid.
We'll try to avoid
specifics.
Being specific on people and stuff like that. Until this week, wasn't something on my radar. They want to be forced to continue to wear masks in the dugout, for example. That's their problem. But now that now that the playing field is no longer equal, in other words, 5 weeks ago, nobody was vaccinated. No team was loosening restrictions.
Everybody was on the same playing field.
Right.
Literally.
It didn't matter.
Yep.
But now, 16 teams, because four more will be fully vaccinated in 2 weeks. So 16 teams, as of June 1st, will be able to do a lot of things that the 14 other teams won't be able to do. And this week, the Padres manager, Jace Tingler, talked about a team getting to that 85% vaccinated threshold.
We're a couple players away from getting there. Will we get there? I don't know at the end of the day. I think we're optimistic. We will. We're just, a couple guys short. We understand, the one thing with the protocols and things like that, it's a clear competitive advantage to get to that 85%. Our guys are educated. We're educating them on it. And, that's where we're at.
A clear competitive advantage to get to 85%.
That is the key of this discussion right here.
It has opened the door for this discussion. So I don't want to hear people at me on Twitter or call up and say, it's none of your business, their body, their choice. No, this is a baseball issue now. The Chicago Cubs have chosen to not get the best competitive advantage they can take. At least if you believe what Jace Tingler has to say. They've chosen to not put the best product on the field by doing this.
Right, and individual players we're talking about here, because the Cubs cannot say, and they do not want to say. However, there is a question of employment, and because it's a competitive advantage, but it's a real slippery slope.
Right, they have a strong union that would have to be involved.
Right.
I mean, they've come to the conclusion you can't force them, at least right now, to take the vaccine.
Right.
It's their choice.
There are some players who have done that and staff who have done that, and some that probably will not.
Now,
and because they're going to fall short, they're at a disadvantage.
Now, we can argue if Jace Tingler is right or not. We can argue that. But here are the things that happens to the club once they get to 85%, which is now exactly today, basically, happening for the Chicago White Sox, but not the Chicago Cubs. Mask wearing is no longer required in the dugout and bullpen. On charter flights, the restrictions on non-Tier 1 or Tier 2 individuals have been lifted. So Len Casper can go on the charter flight. Our guest later, Darren Jackson, as well. They don't have to wear the devices for fully vaccinated individuals, which track who they've been in contact with. They don't have to tell their compliance officer when they're leaving the hotel on the road. Fully vaccinated individuals can eat at restaurants indoors and outdoors without restrictions. Family and household members Even those who are not fully vaccinated can stay with Tier 1 individuals on the road with no restrictions. Other hotel guests, anyone who is fully vaccinated can stay with fully vaccinated individuals on the road. Family members and guests of players and staff are no longer required to sit in pods at the games. They can mingle together. Fully vaccinated individuals can eat and drink during air, bus, and train travel. Now, here's probably a big one. Shared clubhouse amenities may be restored. That's video game systems, pool tables. In other words, places where you create camaraderie are restored. Saunas, the use of saunas and steam rooms in club facilities will no longer be prohibited for fully vaccinated individuals. Now, I admit on the surface, where's the competitive advantage? But as a whole, getting
a
back,
lot of stuff there.
Can you argue getting back to normal life? To me, that sounds like a competitive advantage when you consider the other end of the spectrum, which is all these restrictions in place.
Isn't it amazing? We don't think about this daily, but these are all of the restrictions that they've had to live with for all of this time. And it's amazing to me. And again, it's a personal choice. I get it. But to get back to normal, and not only does it affect you as a player, but you can see how deep this goes with families and who families can see and who families can be in contact with. So there are a lot of moving parts here. Now, I want to talk about what happened with the Yankees. This is interesting. Interesting wrinkle. A couple days ago, they had 8 people positive with COVID. Now, the team was vaccinated, and I think they did reach that number, right? Are they one of the teams?
I don't know
that
if the Yankees
reached 85%?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Well, these 8 players did get vaccinated, and it's important to note that the vaccination protects you from symptoms, not getting COVID necessarily.
Right.
Now, they did get the Johnson & Johnson, the one shot. We're not scientists here. We're not going to try to draw a line between, you know, the shot and what happened. But you still can get COVID-19. It's important to know that.
Well,
it just protects you from the symptoms. It's not as dangerous. It is probably shorter lasting. And we've got some people that mostly here are asymptomatic.
Right.
The people that are positive.
Now, we don't know. Again, we're not doctors, but apparently it also, like you just said, it helps with symptoms. So they should be out maybe a shorter period of time.
Right.
Maybe somebody would have been a lot worse without the vaccine, you know,
that's
ends
right.
up in the hospital. And trust me,
the contact tracing is a little easier because maybe that's not getting passed from one person to another.
Here's Jake Arrieta on that very thought.
He was asked before the game about the team not reaching the 85% vaccine rate. When you see what happens to like the Yankees and the Padres, do you feel that could be a competitive disadvantage down the road? What are those conversations like in the clubhouse?
A disadvantage for what?
A competitive disadvantage if, you know, guys are out because you guys aren't at that rate. I guess what's kind of the talk in the clubhouse at this moment about that?
Well, if I'm correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't quite a few guys just test positive for the Yankees that were vaccinated?
True. Yes. Yes.
So I think that kind of goes against what you're asking.
Well, no, I mean, the Padres manager thought it's a clear competitive disadvantage. I was just curious from a player's perspective.
Sure. I don't agree with that because if certain guys that were vaccinated ended up testing positive, doesn't necessarily seem like any advantage there.
But isn't the science of this that the percentages would be on your side if you're vaccinated? I mean, that's what the doctors and the experts say.
Well, you know, I guess so, but also based on that information and the science, the people that are vaccinated shouldn't necessarily have to worry about getting COVID-19, but, you know, that has also been proved wrong as well. So seems like
I'm going to stop it there. I'm sorry, Jake. Look, without the vaccination, maybe 20 Yankees would have gotten it. I mean,
And maybe all of them.
It can only help. It's almost like we said about going back to being in the minors or sitting.
Right.
Getting vaccinated can only help.
And the point about if the Yankees did not get vaccinated, more people get it and they're not asymptomatic and more resulting infections happen.
So there's several layers.
We don't know.
There's several layers to this, right? Getting the vaccine means you're less likely to get the virus, And if you get it, you're less likely to be severely ill.
Right. The symptoms are lessened.
And if 85% get the vaccine, you get all these restrictions loosened.
Let's take the science out of it. Let's take all the science out of it right now. And just go to that list and say, okay, now you can be more normal. That's a lot of motivation right now, and that's taking the science out of it.
So we're going to go to a break. 312-332-3776 is the number. And so I want to bring up 2 points about this. One, I can't believe after a year of dealing with all these restrictions, these players weren't running to get the vaccine. I can't believe would rather deal with these. And number two, I think it's absolutely pathetic that the Chicago Cubs haven't reached and may not be reaching 85%. Let's debate it. 312-332-3776. Absolutely pathetic. This is ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
We're trying to avoid that rabbit hole,
yeah,
Xander. I don't know if we're going to be able to when I just called the Cubs pathetic for not taking the vaccine. But here's going up to that rabbit hole. Jesse and Xander here till 12:30, by the way. Here's going up to that rabbit hole. I just, on the surface, can't believe that the front office of a team, the manager of a team, the coaches of a team, and most importantly, the doctors of a team have tried to convince the players of something, whether it be vaccines or something else, whatever. They're all in unison, trying to convince the players of something, and the players are rejecting it. Like, would they reject a team doctor's advice on rotator cuff? I mean, I guess they might ask for a second opinion.
Right.
But in general, people listen to their doctors, especially athletes. They have to trust doctors. I mean, if they don't trust doctors, they can't do the diagnosis themselves.
Right.
I just can't believe that team doctors.
Doctors and scientists are in on this.
Yes.
They all agree.
Right.
And again, if we take the science out of it and all of those things that you read are restored, which is reflective of normal, where do you sign?
Yeah, like Arrieta's argument, okay, fine, Jake. If you don't think the vaccine matters and really doesn't keep you safe, what's the difference? Baseball has decided if 85% of you take the vaccine, you get to do all these things. And at least one manager believes it's a competitive advantage, Chase Tingler of the Padres. And that's why this conversation is allowed to go on,
and when
because
Jake,
it's about baseball.
And when Jake brought up the Yankees, he said, well, it doesn't matter. They're tested positive. Again, the vaccine does not prevent you from getting COVID-19. It lessens the effects, and chances are you're asymptomatic, and it probably shortens the time of which you are dealing with COVID-19.
Let's try not to go down the rabbit hole. I have to resist it myself more than anyone, but let's see if we can do this the right way on the phone lines. Who's this on line
one? Tom?
Tom, there we go. Tom and Lyle, you're on ESPN 1000.
Tom. Hey, guys. If they tied that 85% vaccination rate to park capacity, I think you'd see a lot of behavior change. And I think you can make an argument that if you can adjust park capacity based on the product being vaccinated or not. And Jake Arrieta is a proven meathead. So,
well, I'm not going to call people names, but you bring up the fans. And there's another thing, Xander, that I laugh at. Teams all over baseball and probably other sports are incentivizing fans to get vaccinated. They are reducing tickets if you get vaccinated.
They have vaccinated sections.
Right. Merchandise.
Yep.
They are trying to convince fans to get vaccinated, yet they can't even convince their own players. I think that's pathetic and entertaining all at the same time.
It is really, really wildly ironic.
Thank you for that. That's the right word. Let's go to Pauly. Well, is it Pauly there?
We got line three on Pauly.
Okay.
In Florida, Crown Beach, Florida. Hey, Pauly.
No, Pauly's. Is Pauly there? It's X'd out on my phone bank here.
Okay.
I'm screening him right now.
Okay.
So hold on. Oh, okay. All right. Wow, we're moving too fast, Jess. Slow down.
That's why they don't let me around the equipment very often.
Slow down.
That's why they don't love me. But I think going back to our one of the points earlier, I'm just shocked. They hated wearing the mask in the dugout, and you can't get together in the game room. They hated that all last summer.
Inconvenience. And look at all of that. We think our lives were inconvenienced by the pandemic. Look at all the rules that they have to live by, and their families. Two, right?
Yeah.
All of it.
They can't.
Everybody was affected.
They can't go to a bar. They can't go to a restaurant on the road. They have to ask permission to leave the hotel. They can't bring anybody back with them from the bar to the hotel. I mean, they'd rather continue with these restrictions take a stupid shot that 200 million people are taking?
When all of this started last year, every week we read through the new rules, and it was just paralyzing. I couldn't imagine being a professional athlete going through all of that. And now for the chance to be able to loosen that.
You know, and
seems obvious to many of us.
You'd think there'd be like fights within the clubhouse, right? You're preventing my wife from coming on the road or family member. But they're not doing that. They're scared. Of, you know, we can't. They're not doing that. Here's Chris Bryan on him getting vaccinated.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you're on the field is a plus, and especially when you have your good players on the field, that's a huge plus, you know. But yeah, we're not there yet. I don't know if we'll ever get there either, but you know, if that's going to be the story for us this year, then we gotta do all we can to kind of make sure that we don't run into situations like that, and just be diligent, you know, to get through the season. And after that, guys can do whatever they please, but the advantage to have your good players on the field for sure.
Are you encouraging anybody, or are other players encouraging some of the players who aren't getting vaccinated to do so?
You know, it's not really a focus of mine to, you know, convince anybody otherwise. I mean, I got it, and, you know, I have a peace of mind knowing, you know, the fact that I'm on the field and I want to be on the field for this whole season. So, but I don't know yet. It's an individual question for everybody. I mean, I'm not in the business of asking people if they have it or not, but I personally got it, and I feel great peace of mind. Just go out there and play baseball.
Don't guys want the restrictions to be loosened a little bit? Isn't that something that's, you know, a conversation within the clubhouse?
Yeah, it would be great. You know, but who knows? I don't know if we're going to get there. You know, but like I said, my personal experience and the fact that I actually got it, I just said, like, the peace of mind for me, it's something that I, you know, I really wanted this year, and I got that, you know, with this. So, but yeah, it certainly would be nice to kind of just, you know, have one locker room instead of seeing half the other guys on the other side of the world here. But yeah, that's the cards that we're dealt right now, and that's what we're gonna deal with, and we're just gonna go with it on the fly. And maybe we get there, maybe we don't, but hopefully everybody stays safe and we can get through the season.
It will be interesting as time moves on if it starts getting a little more, you know, tense in these clubhouses.
You would think,
you know, team sport. Look, I'm just saying, you know, wherever you ride on this, team sport,
but I understand it. But you know how someone
that doesn't. I'm oversimplifying it, and
but
obviously.
You're right, because you know how someone thinks that vaccine is going to sterilize them or, you know, do some long-term, they don't care about going out of the hotel, right? I mean, if they think their health is in danger, which of course it's not, they're not going to care about a mask in the dugout. So that whole team, it's a team thing. No, it's not going to fly. If you think you are going to be harmed
right
medically,
well,
I wish
it were that simple, and I'm oversimplifying, but it's not. And it'll be interesting to see within these clubhouses as time goes on,
right,
if things start getting a little tense. Because as Chris said, look, I made the choice for me. Yeah, we want others. How much are they going up and say, hey, man, would you really? We're almost there. We're two players away. It's going to be like they're campaigning.
Right.
Now.
You would think. But I think it's a little bit off limits. Like, you do you, I'll do me.
Right.
Except you doing you affects me. I can't leave my hotel.
And that's why it's hard to avoid that conversation. And what you were saying, at this point, maybe there's nobody to convince. People are locked in.
They're locked in. But I know you and I listened to that closely. Could you tell in a few moments the exasperation in his voice?
Yes.
Like
yes.
The little giggle, like, are you going to get there? I don't know, maybe. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. There's just that little, and this is Chris Bryant, the nicest guy in the world. But you can tell there's a little division there. I'll give, I guess, David Ross some credit. Like, it hasn't festered into, like, a big fight that we know of. We're not, as reporters, down there, but it's got to be some tension.
As time goes on with you covering the Cubs, it'll be interesting to see how many people say, I don't want to talk about
it. Well, I think it's hilarious. We got our writers union sent an email out. We no longer are required to wear masks in the press box. Our restrictions have been loosened, but the players, these multimillionaires, have to follow all these rules still. It cracks me up. It really does. If it wasn't about the competitive advantage, I wouldn't even bring it up. But there is a baseball element to this. So anyway, let's go to Jeff, who says he's a biochemist. We'll take your word for it, Jeff. You're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, I'm the one who got David Kaplan that stuff for his singles.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Thank God, okay. Because he looked awful for a while there. More awful than usual.
I was going to say, did it help much?
Well.
Eventually it did.
Okay, there's a lot of misinformation going on about the vaccinations.
You think?
Now, the vaccinations are made to stop the spread, not the infection rate. So what they do is they affect the spike protein's attachment to the cell, but they do absolutely nothing to the nucleocapsid process inside the cell. So when you think about vaccinations, they usually vaccinate before a breakout, like with the flu shots. They always give them before it happens. With the pandemic being so large, this was the really only option they had to try to stop this.
Right. Yeah. I get it. I actually get it.
Now,
yeah.
Can you kind of explain how this might be beyond the rule list? Is there another competitive advantage to reaching that number from a science point?
Well, 100% of the people that have had the virus have the T-cell receptor antibodies for it. Ironically, about 50 to 60% of the people that have never had the virus have the T-cell receptors for the coronavirus because of the MERS and SARS viruses. It gets really complicated after that as far as how the body builds immunity and why things are, the way they are. There are the like the hydroxychloroquine and those things that actually work inside the cell. But that's like a 2-hour conversation of why
right,
it is
right.
That way.
Let me ask you this to get to Jake Arrieta's point. Let's just go back to I know you what you said a moment ago, but let's be clear. If you get the vaccine, are you less likely to get the virus, test positive for the virus?
That's a big debate. There's no proof either way that you're less likely to get it because each person would have to have a baseline test before and then a baseline test
okay,
after.
So next question. Are you less likely to get seriously sick if you take the vaccine?
No.
You're...
No, because
so
it,
what's,
it shouldn't be
So wait a minute.
Vaccine.
What's the point of taking the vaccine? You haven't given me a reason to take it then.
Yeah, we threw this thing in reverse.
Well, it's experimental. It shouldn't even be called a vaccine. And this shouldn't be called a pandemic. It should be called an endemic. Well, it's like the flu is always going
to
be there.
So go back to my question. Based on what you've said, what's the point of me taking the vaccine?
I don't want to dissuade anybody from taking it because it's a personal decision. I will not take it. My grandkids will not take it.
Okay, you didn't state that at the beginning.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're an anti-vax person.
Well, this vaccine, because I don't think it's not a vaccine. It's still an experimental usage permit. So it's not that I'm an anti-vaxxer, it's that there's not enough research done to prove that.
I don't know if you're conveying the right stuff here either.
Well, let me put it this way. Okay, the big debate right now is masks or not masks, correct?
I don't know what the debate is anymore, to be honest.
Right.
Well, it's like throwing sand at a chain link fence because of the size of the virus molecule. So if you have a mask on and you wear glasses and you breathe out, your glasses fog up. That means that the masks aren't actually doing their job because they're not stopping the water molecules from coming out. I think every person's immunity is going to make a difference. Now,
Jeff, how do you explain the numbers coming down then?
Yeah.
Well, again, it's natural immunity that happens with people having it. Now, the people that have had the serious outbreaks are all one. Obesity is the number one factor in people getting the coronavirus.
I don't disagree with that. Jeff, we appreciate the call. We're going to go down that rabbit hole. We're going to end up down that rabbit hole. You're fine to have your opinion, but Eric, I assumed a biochemist was
and it
coming
says
in a different
there,
direction,
why
which
it's
is
an
fine.
Advantage, but boy, he threw it into reverse and did a...
Did he tell you that it was an advantage to take
the vaccine? He was explaining how, like, it keeps it from spreading in small places, so that's an advantage for the team.
You know what I'm going to... I'm going to be that naive guy that doesn't think that the United States is putting chips in our arm. I'm going to say that, look, a year ago, we were all dying to get to normalcy, right?
Here's a list of normalcy.
Yeah, we were forced to do all these things.
Yep.
The smartest people in the god darn world worked their butt off to get us to normalcy, and I am willing to take that chance, okay? I don't think... Remember, our two presidents have taken the vaccine and have promoted it. Two presidents on the other side of the... I don't think these scientists and doctors who have families, who seem like good people, are going to put something in our arm that's going to kill us.
Right.
I am willing to trust that they are not trying to kill 7 billion people. Okay, so that's my opinion.
Yeah, well, you know what? Look, and that's
my
where
God.
The personal choice comes down.
Biochemist.
That's where the personal choice comes down. But relating to, you know, baseball and getting back to normal and the competitive advantage,
right.
There's
Let's
a real argument there.
Try to stick with that. See, I'm already going down that rabbit hole.
You threw yourself down that rabbit
hole. Well, you know what?
I'm trying to pull you up.
Hey, take the god darn shot.
Well, you know what? I wish it were that easy. But you know, our biochemist friend there didn't have a lot to say about the numbers coming down.
It's not experimental. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, but he missaid it. That they did rush the approval, but they didn't necessarily rush the making of it.
Right.
That's been documented.
Right.
But I don't
want
to go down that kind of a rabbit hole.
No.
But I do want to say that the Cubs have chosen to take a competitive disadvantage. 312-332-3776. We will get off this topic soon enough. But I'm fascinated by players choosing all these restrictions, choosing potentially a competitive disadvantage over taking the vaccine. I'm fascinated by
it.
Choosing to go against their own doctors.
And science, all of that mystifies me. Let's take a break. Come back. We've got a few more calls to take on this subject because, there's a real conundrum here we're dealing with in sports.
We'll get to the White Sox and Royals.
Baseball.
A lot of people driving to the park. We're going to talk about Abreu's toughness. Do you have any concerns?
We've got that poll. And I've got a music poll I want to lay on you.
And when I say concerns, we're sort of saying it tongue-in-cheek. This team's been so good, but I lost 2 of 3 to the Royals. You know how diehard fans are. They're always looking for that worry. And so... Did you find one these last 2 days, White Sox fans? We're back in a moment on ESPN.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
We're a couple players away from getting there. Will we get there? I don't know at the end of the day. I think we're optimistic. We will. We're just, a couple guys short. And look, we understand, the one thing with the protocols and things like that, it's a clear competitive advantage to get to that 85%. Our guys are educated. We're educating them on it. And, that's where we're at.
That's San Diego Padres manager Jace Tingler earlier this week. Talking about his team trying to get to that 85%.
Sounds like a couple of guys away, maybe.
Yeah, vax threshold. Yeah, they're a couple guys away. They may not get there. Who knows?
And again, it's beyond players. It's staff. It's everybody.
Yeah, so you got to get to 85%. And if so, you get to loosen restrictions and things like, if someone does test positive, the contact tracing isn't as important, I guess. Like
isn't as deep or comprehensive.
Right, right.
Yeah.
You don't have to sit out as long. Those kind of things. You get what he was getting at. It's just it's a disadvantage if you continue to have to deal with those restrictions.
To what degree, we don't know, but
right.
To some degree it is.
Yeah. Let's go to John in Evanston. You're on ESPN 1000. John, go ahead.
Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I'm fully vaccinated. I didn't have any kind of repercussions from the shots or anything. No discomfort in the area where I had the shot. As far as teams that hit the 85%, such as the White Sox, you're going to see a difference. Their opponent's going to see a difference in their style of play. They're going to be looser. They're going to notice managers, coaches going out to the mound, no mask. They're going to see actual high fives, not elbow fives. They're going to see each other. They're going to be talking to each other. They're going to be sitting together. And you know what brings a team closer together is being able to go out to eat after a game and relax and have a beer and have some fun and not have to ask.
Have to worry about it. John, all of that adds up to, you know, a better situation. And they're looser. They're having fun.
And the White Sox are there.
Yeah.
The White Sox are there, and the Cubs are not, and I don't think the Cubs are going to get there. Let's go to Jared in Arlington Heights. You're on ESPN 1000, Jared.
Hey, Jared.
Gentlemen, good morning. Real quick, I am fully vaccinated myself. I actually have family members who railed against it but still got it because they're taking care of loved ones because, you know, they're not selfish. But not going down that rabbit hole, I find it interesting that, you know, athletes find their bodies as temples, and when something like this comes up and you have doctors and medical professionals saying this will not harm you, this will help herd immunity and stuff like that, and they're just outright refusing it for whatever reason, I feel like it's a comparison of me trying to go get golf lessons from Tiger Woods, him giving me an advice, and me saying, okay, well, I'm going to do it my way, but thank you for telling me. As far as the competitive advantage, it's huge. I mean, you know, this division race in the Central, I'm from Cincinnati. I'm a huge Reds fan. So, like, this division is going to be crazy. And not to put aside individual, you know, you're always going to have somebody who doubts everything. But to not put the team first, it's really quite honestly shocking in Major League Baseball or anything that you have all these professionals. They have the money to show that what's going on. And even if it was, you know, with that biochemist that was on earlier said, you know,
quote-unquote biochemist.
Doesn't do anything, right, quote-unquote. If it doesn't do anything, but it's what's required to get you there and there's no horrible negative side effects. Like I was tired for a day and I'm 33 years old. You know, I have dad bod, you know, I'm roly poly. I'm not an athlete. And I was down for a day. And to me, it's just, I don't want to say selfish. It's definitely selfish, but it's not what I've come to expect from the Cubs organization. I never root for the Cubs. But I've always respected the Cubs organization because they've always felt like they've done it classy. And I think in this time of social media too, I think if this happened 20 years ago, you'd have more people in the clubhouse going after each other because they wouldn't have the fear of.
Yeah.
Say, well said. Yeah. So that's a great point.
You know, yeah. You know, bringing it up on social media, but real quick, Jesse, I just want to say,
yeah,
I've been following your work since I've been up here and I appreciate the fact that you take the time to root both sides for the Cubs, for and against. And I really appreciate your work, and you know, I'll sit back and listen. Guys, have a great day.
Well, you're the one. You're the one. Thanks, Jared. I appreciate it. It's not, and it's just a bad, not bad, but it's just root is not the right word. I know what he meant, but it's just report. You report without an agenda is how you do things. That's the right way. You report without an agenda. Now, you can root for individuals because you're a human being, and I certainly do. These Cubs have really nice guys in there. But back to his point, remember, don't impugn the Cubs organization. The front office, the GM, the manager, the doctors all want the
players. It's in the best interest of everybody, and they see that, and they're the managers.
This comes down to a handful of players.
It'd be really interesting to find out that not everybody in the front office, but that's a different story for a different day.
You know what? Of course, there's a percent that but the majority have taken it.
Mm-hmm.
I know that. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you if it's 100%.
Hey, Jared said, you know, team sport, that's what I said earlier. I know it's not that simple.
But those that are against it aren't worried about, I don't think, are worried about the side effect for a day. They're worried about 10 years from now.
Yes. Hey, my arm was sore and I wasn't worried about it.
But the funny thing is, this is where Arrieta is wrong. He's more worried about that than the long-term effects of a virus that is brand new. But his point is, I don't want the virus and I don't want the vaccine, so I'm just going to continue with these silly restrictions. You know what I mean? But if you're going to choose the unknown of the vaccine or the unknown of the virus, I take the vaccine 100% of the time.
Right.
Why? Because we've all taken vaccines when we were kids, right? Polio, all that stuff. And nothing's happened. We're all fine. And we're all going to be fine in 10 years.
That's a good point, because even Jake Arrieta probably at some point, I don't mean to pick on him.
He's taking it.
Yeah, because he was a baby and he had no choice.
Right.
It happened.
Right.
And he's a professional baseball player.
Yeah. We'll talk more about this on the other side of this break. Darren Jackson is going to join us. I assume he packed his bag for a road trip coming up because announcers are allowed to travel. So not only is it a better product on the field, your broadcast will be a better product because the announcers will actually be in the ballpark now.
Which makes a huge difference.
But not the Cubs announcers. We're back in a moment on ESPN 1000.